the worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best served funny. Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I'm your host, Christine Lakin. And with me today, as always, is the lovely...
Stephen Ray Morris.
Stephen, it's a Saturday.
Catterday.
Yes. Hello.
You've sort of
got a brushed back hairstyle today. I'm really enjoying it.
It's, well, now that I'm going for this like man in the woods sort of thing, I feel like it's kind of getting in. I feel like I know, you know, I need to have like hair clips or, you know what I mean? Like I don't have any of that stuff.
Right.
Any of the accessories that usually help.
Yes.
You know, keep the long hair out of the face. So I feel like I just have to kind of like...
A scrunchie,
perhaps,
of some sort.
Yeah, a scrunchie.
I could supply... I have tiny little scrunchies for my daughter's hair. So if you want a few.
Oh, a little... Does she wear berets? Any clips or anything?
Sure.
Oh my
Maybe
gosh.
When we take a picture... For this week, I can just supply you with a few accoutrements.
I would love that.
Okay.
Or like, well, you go to Hawaii and you get like the flower. Like.
Oh, the flower. Yeah. Or when you're on spring break in Destin and, you know, this is high school and you're getting cornrows for just no good reason whatsoever.
I don't even want to know what I would look like. I don't think I could. I think my hair's too thick. Right?
I don't know about that.
I think it would hurt.
It's definitely going to hurt, but pain is beauty and beauty is pain. So
worth it then.
It's definitely worth it. And with, you know, but you have to get the beads in it too.
All right. Well, if I'm going to go all the way, I got to go all the way.
That's it. You got to jump straight into the deep end.
Oh my gosh.
Before you got here, my husband has some weird new face app that I guess he's been playing with where you can take a picture of yourself and then it shows you what you would look like young, which is hilarious because it basically just smooths everything to like a baby's butt.
It's like Me Too, but simpler.
Yes.
Okay.
And then like what you would look like old and then, okay. Which is just like you look, I mean, it just wrinkles you. It's like. High school old lady makeup, and then what you would look like as the opposite gender.
Oh, okay.
His woman is terrifying, but my man actually was kind of good looking.
Looks good. Did they add like a beard or like what are they?
No, I just have a totally different hair, and like the bone structure becomes like a little bit different. But I don't know what that says about me.
That's so.
I'm really just in the middle. I guess I could go either way.
I mean, those apps are so strange because it's almost like we could just be completely different like online and then somebody sees us in person. It's like, no, I wasn't catfishing you. You just only saw me through the app. You know?
Right. But then we did one of Georgia and we did Smile and it literally gave her a full set of dentures.
Ooh.
It is the grossest thing I've ever seen. I should actually do it to my dogs because that would be cute.
Well, there's that meme of people giving sharks human teeth. And it's the most terrifying. Like, they just look like, you know, they've just got like big dentures. And it's like hilarious, but also really terrifying.
Oh, God, that's gross. Ugh. But can you imagine? I think we should just do that for our next Christmas card. Like, worst Christmas card ever. Everyone's like, what the hell happened to you guys?
Wait, is that the app that you're saying where you can actually give somebody a smile that doesn't have a smile?
Yeah.
That's really creepy.
Yeah, it's really weird, especially on a baby. Full set of like human large teeth. It's just not okay. It looks like something out of a horror movie.
I mean, I imagine that if you just use the old thing, though, it just like was just added wrinkles. So it's just like a very tiny old.
Oh, yeah. She looked like
baby.
A tiny old. She looked like Benjamin Button.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Which maybe we need to save some of these. Maybe I'll put these on the Instagram, too, because now that we've done it, we should do it with our guest this week, too.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Our guest this week, who's sitting beside me, listening to me ramble on about being an old person and giving my daughter dentures. Our guest this week is the lovely and talented Jillian Rose Reed. You would know her from the show MTV's Awkward. Hello, Jillian.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah.
This is very exciting.
Very exciting.
So, Jillian, you're here to regale us with lots of worst tales, which is amazing because I don't even know you. And I'm like reaching out like in the blind because I know your former co-star and friend, Nikki DeLoach, who was just on our podcast.
Yes.
And she said, you know who would be great? And you were like, yeah, I'll come to your house on a Saturday and sit around in your dog-infested couch, and I'll tell you the worst things that have ever happened to me.
I do whatever
I love your
Nikki
willingness.
DeLoach tells me to do.
Oh, okay, good.
Anything and everything.
I think that's actually really smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's only a little crazy, so.
Yeah. No, you've totally got to find, you've got to find mentors. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that's actually very important. And she kind of was your mom, sort of
ish. Yeah.
So
she's like a big sister to me in real life, so.
Even though she is only like 10 years older than you. Yeah. Which
that's
I love.
Big sister. That's okay.
God bless you, MTV. Yeah. God bless you. All right, let's go back to the beginning because I want to get to know you a little bit. Yeah. And I looked you up and did some trolling of my own, so that's not creepy. But you're from Florida.
I was born in Florida. Yep. But I moved when I was very young, like 2.
Oh, okay.
To Michigan and was raised in Michigan.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. That's a climate change.
Yep. Yes, it is.
How was life in Michigan?
Well, cold.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
For one.
And I mean, I had a wonderful childhood. I grew up in musical theater. Mm-hmm. And I moved to LA when I was around 13.
Oh, okay.
To pursue acting because I have a very supportive and crazy family.
Wow. So you were like doing the local stuff and you're like, listen, guys.
Yeah.
I'm 13 and I'm missing the boat.
I'm 13 and I am just ready to get out of this place.
Wow. And they supported you in that.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, did you stay? It's not called the Oakwood anymore, right? Or is it still called the Oakwood?
It's we not talk called about the Oakwood anymore, but that was one of the first places we looked at, and it was so scary that my mom was like, we can't be here.
Can we please get sponsored by the fucking Oakwood? We talk about the Oakwood literally every podcast.
That place is so scary.
It's so scary.
It just feels like it's such a history in LA. I feel like there needs to be a documentary made about that.
There really does.
There has been. There has been.
Oh, there is.
What?
Oh, there's like 3 of them. Yeah.
Are there any murders in it?
I don't think there are any murders.
Ah, shit. I was hoping that maybe we could get a crossover episode.
Change that.
With my favorite murder. Yeah, it's scary. And I also lived there. Who didn't? I mean, Nikki lived there. I lived there. I mean, we got robbed there.
Of course you got robbed there because that place is terrifying.
It's terrifying.
Everything bad happens at the Oakwood.
Yeah. And then they have these like industry nights, you know, where all the kids with their momagers come.
It's so creepy.
Wine and cheese and everyone had a beeper because this was back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like checking their services because that's what you had to call in, your message service.
Yeah.
It was gross. So, okay. So you were there for like a month. And your mom was like,
no, we literally walked in, toured, looked at the place, saw a couple moms, and she was like, let's go.
Oh, your mom
is smart.
Yeah,
we never moved there. We never actually moved there.
Yeah, because she's normal.
Because my mom's normal.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have siblings?
I do. I have an older brother who still lives in Michigan.
Okay.
With a wife and 2 little babes. And my younger brother is almost 17 and he's also an actor. He lives here.
So did your younger brother come out with you?
Yeah. So he was about 4, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in like Best Buy or something. And he saw a TV or a refrigerator that had a TV in it. And he was like, whoa, that's so cool. I want that. And we were like, well, maybe you should try acting and you can get it someday. And now he's done more things than I have.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's just running in the blood.
It is.
But your parents, not in the biz.
So my dad was a musician.
Oh, okay.
And my mom, she acted when she was younger. She was in like Smokey and the Bandit. And
really?
Yeah.
No way. Like, who is your mom?
Little teeny. Like there's a girl sitting on a fence in a red bikini in Smokey and the Bandit, like waving. And that's my mom.
No way.
Yeah. So she dabbled.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. So that's where I get it from.
I love that.
Yep.
Okay. So when you were like, I want to do it, she was kind of like, listen, I've had my Smokey moments. I need to give you a chance. Let's give you a shot.
She always described, because of course everyone thought that she was nuts, like moving, you know, your family to LA. But she was like, well, you drive your kid to like 5 soccer practices a week. I'm just driving her to auditions. It's just in a different state.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
And so my family did this back and forth thing for a really long time until finally my dad got a job out here.
Okay.
And now pretty much the whole family's here.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was like you also between Atlanta and coming to LA and stuff.
But once. I mean, we never even came out for pilot season. Like my mom wasn't even like, that was just not going to be a thing in her mind. She was like, we will come out on your spring break.
Right.
1 week only. You will do a few auditions. You will make a demo tape and we will go back home. Like she was like, there is no Oakwood. There is no pilot seasoning. Like we're not, you know, and I was lucky. I just like somebody saw my tape and they were looking for a kid on a show and I came out and auditioned and then got it. And that changed everything.
Right.
But yeah. We did the back and forth from here to Atlanta.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're 13. Mm-hmm. You move out here. You're in an apartment.
Yep.
And how long after that does Awkward happen?
Oh, I got awkward when I was 18.
18. Okay. Yeah. So you're doing, but you're doing commercials. You're
so
doing...
I was doing, at 16, I booked Weeds. Right. I was recurring on Weeds for 2 seasons. So that was my first like big job. And then other than that, I had done some guest star, you know, co-star stuff on random shows up until Awkward. And then I turned 18 in December, booked Awkward in like February.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And you were attending a school here.
So I was going to a charter school, which is kind of like half homeschool, half going in. And I graduated a year and a half early. So I graduated at like 16.
And at this point, your brother is also pursuing acting.
Yeah, he was on The Young and the Restless at that time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was like, I mean, it's insane. The kid works all the time. It's so crazy. I'm like, how did you even learn any of this? It's like
one of those. That's crazy. Well, yeah, you both have it. You know?
He's just a natural.
That's amazing.
Did you ever like do stuff with each other in the sense of like practicing lines with each other, like not fake auditioning, but basically going through that process with each other?
Not really fake stuff. I mean, I actually teach acting now. So he was like my first little student. So I've been coaching him for years, but he actually did an episode of Awkward.
Oh.
And his character had to hit on me.
Gross.
Yeah. So the showrunner called me one day and she was like, so I have this part I want to put Robbie in. And I was like, okay, great. And she was like, how do you feel about him talking about your nipples? And I was like, yeah, yep, book him. Yep, we're doing it. Yep. Okay. Because, you know, jobs, you have to just take them when they come. So.
Sure. I mean, even if it is incestual,
sure.
Who cares?
You just, you know, you forget it happens and you move on.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe the most awkward thing ever.
Super weird.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's blowing my mind. Okay. So you get Awkward, and Awkward runs for 6 years.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know that MTV's had a show that's run that long.
Not in the comedy world.
No.
Teen Wolf is the only other show that I think lasted that long. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking too. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Good experience?
The best. Incredible. Yeah. Made lifelong friends and family. Yeah, I mean, to have that be my first experience as a series regular on a show, it's going to be hard when I get the next one to be like, this doesn't feel like Awkward did, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you come off the show and then you're back into the audition pool.
Mm-hmm.
Which can be awkward in and of itself. You know, you're like back in just, you know, pounding the pavement, hustling again.
Yeah.
Not having that like job security. Any bad moments? Any bad audition moments?
A ton of bad moments. This isn't a specific bad moment or audition moment, but just like moment in general. Just soul crushing moment. How about that?
Yes, I love soul crushing.
got a soul there. Worst soul crush ever.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, please.
So this was last pilot season, which was my first pilot season out. You know, free from the Awkward contract. And
just so everybody understands, I think we've talked about this before, but pilot season is in the industry the term people use when the network shows premiere in the fall. They have been written a year ahead of time. They have been sold to networks, and then around this time, you know, February, March, they're being cast, they're being produced, and then in May, the networks look at all the pilots and they decide, we want this one, et cetera. They announce them and they start filming in the summer so that they can premiere in the fall. So just to let you all know, it's a very busy time for actors because that's pretty much when like 80% of the major jobs are being kind of cast and put out there. Anyway,
are these pilots, as an actor, are you getting paid to act in them, or is this more of like a, we want you to be in the show, so it's like part of a larger promise? Or like, how does that stuff work?
You get paid, but you're also negotiating and signing like a 6-year contract because they want to lock you down. If it goes, they want to know that like, that's it. Like you are ours. We have you locked down. And usually with shows, if it goes more than 2 years, there's usually a chance for renegotiation like every 2 years. That's usually how it, you're signing like your next 6 years away.
Yeah.
And so the money better be good.
Well, I was going to say, and if you're like auditioning for multiple, or maybe you book multiple, then is that like,
position. Okay. So this is where it gets real interesting. Say you go up for a pilot and they decide to test you. We've talked about testing before. It's like the final audition. And then you go in for another pilot and they also want to test you. So now you've got two pilots that want you. And that's where you can actually, if you have a good lawyer or a good agent, you can really get them to kind of fight for you mm-hmm. and raise the money so that one of them can be in first position. So if you get one of them, then all of a sudden that one would be in first position. You test in second position for the other pilot. So you can kind of work it that way. And then, and some people are very fortunate. Some people do two pilots.
Yeah.
And they're in second position on the other one because you never know what's going to get picked up.
Right.
And if a network wants you bad enough, they'll let you do it.
Yeah.
In the hopes that, well, let's hope it CBS doesn't pick that pilot up and we get her or whatever it is.
Well, yeah, it always in from just past guests, it always seems like if you do multiple pilots, it's like maybe the one that you banked on made it, and then when you didn't get, or like it just seems always like such a crapshoot almost sometimes.
And it is. And some people won't let you test in second position.
Right.
I feel like it's actually less common now.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are kind of like, no, you choose us or nothing.
Yeah,
they're just it's just gotten way more cutthroat, and you know. Nobody wants to risk it anymore.
Right,
so,
right.
All right, I'm sorry. Continue.
Okay, that's actually like where my story begins. So the last season of Awkward, MTV had said that it was going to be the fifth and final season. So my team was like, great, we're going to send her out for pilot season.
Right.
So I go out.
And you're hot off a show, which is the best.
Right. So it was the
place
best
to be.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, oh, we want to see her, we want to get her.
That's how I felt. So this pilot comes along. I end up getting a test deal for it. And I was like, whoa, this is so crazy. Like, Awkward's going to wrap in the summer and I'm going to be doing something else in the fall. Like,
yeah.
This is literally a dream come true. So I'm on my way. I'm driving. I'm in my car. I had left the Awkward set. They let me go early so I could make it to this test. And my manager calls and she's like, you can't go. And I'm like, wait, what? So MTV had a sixth series option on my contract. They wanted to exercise it. So if I was going to test, I had to test in second position. At that time, CBS didn't want me to do that. So I lost the deal. So
you were literally on the way to the audition.
I was on the way to the test.
Ugh.
So
what a deflating balloon.
Right. It gets worse. So Awkward then does not get a sixth season. And I sat in a year waiting for that to happen. So then comes pilot season last year, 2017.
Ugh.
I'm like, okay, now it's like it's really happening. Like, now I'm actually able to go out. So this other pilot comes along. I go through two auditions and I get a call that I'm pinned. And I was like, what? No, that's not what. And they're like, yeah, like they want to pin you. They pinned you and one other girl, and they're just making their final decisions on all the other cast members.
So they weren't going to test you?
They, at that point, there was no talk of test.
Okay.
So
a pin means, a pin is like a loose term, really, for saying like, it's like a save the date.
Yeah. It's like, don't do anything else.
It's like, yeah, I just want to let you know you're our favorite. Mm-hmm. We have a pin in you, but there's no legal standing on a pin. It's just to sort of say like, if anything else comes up, like you have to let us know because you're at the final countdown for us.
Yeah.
It's kind of bullshit, but
it's
it also
bullshit.
Makes you feel really good.
Yeah, you feel like good, but awful at the same time.
Yeah.
You're like, well, it seems so uncertain and like...
It is.
Well, it's basically like, I want to marry you, but actually there's another girl I also might want to marry.
Yeah.
But I'll let you know in like a week or two.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's what was happening. But I kept hearing all this like scuttle from other, you know, agents and managers or whatever that I was the top pick.
Right.
So for 2 weeks of my life, I was like, I'm getting an NBC show.
Right.
Like I was like living large. I told everybody.
Yeah.
Woke up one morning and I found out that I was the backup offer to someone more famous than I am.
Ugh.
And it was the worst moment. And now here I am, another pilot season.
And this is the third one.
But there's no auditions this year, so it's
Wait, so can you say what the show was? Did it go?
It did not.
Okay.
It did not. It was a pilot for NBC, and I lost it to an actress named Miranda Cosgrove, who was like a big Nickelodeon star. But it didn't get picked up. So,
right. So there's like always that little part of your brain that's like, hey, hey. I mean, they did a pilot, which would have been nice, but
yeah, sure. Whatever.
Yeah. I tested for something last year. And it was down to me and one other girl, CBS pilot, and it totally went. And every time I saw that fucking billboard, I wanted to vomit in my mouth.
Totally.
But it only went for 12 episodes. So I couldn't
so
be
fine.
That mad, but still. Like, yeah, it sucks.
It sucks.
Man, it sucks.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
Ugh.
And she wasn't more famous than me. I guess she was just better.
Shit.
Fuck her.
Yeah.
No,
fuck her.
I'm totally kidding. Happy for her.
Was the show good?
No.
Okay. We're just like, if you're in LA, keep an eye out for those billboards. Try and guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Look for the billboards. They were up last year.
You're like, you're that person hanging on the roller coaster for 911. Have you seen those billboards?
Totally.
Yes.
I keep thinking it's a roller coaster ad. Like
I know. For,
like Six Flags or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen that show?
No, I haven't. I heard it's good.
It's really interesting. Mm. But it's, yeah, it's like, it's funny, but then it's like totally not funny. And then it's like really serious. It's a very odd mix. But I kind of liked it. I don't know. My husband had a different reaction, but
okay.
It's tough when you don't, you know, when you're in a relationship and one person likes something, the other person doesn't.
Right.
Man, it's like, it's really divisive. Then it just sits in your TiVo.
It's the worst. Cause I'm always talking to my boyfriend, like, why don't you want to watch The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Like, I don't get it. It's so good.
I know.
And he's
hates
like,
it
but
too.
There's no story. And I'm like, but let me tell you all about it.
It's yeah. He's worst. Like, why are they fighting again over friendship? I don't understand.
Because that's life.
They're
man.
All friends. Just get over it.
I like that. That's his reaction. He's just like yelling at the TV, and it's like, now you're invested.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you like to pretend they're not, but they are.
Oh yeah, for sure. But he's also a therapist, so he's like, I just really feel like a lot of these women could benefit from some just general cognitive therapy,
yeah, well,
and maybe
no
some
shit.
Meditation.
Should like, be an onset
no
therapist.
I know.
That would then we wouldn't have a show.
Then we, yeah, then there would be no show.
Yeah, you need the producers behind going, tell her this, tell her that.
You want
throw
as crazy
the table,
as you can
throw
get.
A chair.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll share a terrible pilot season story with
okay.
you.
Okay.
So this was probably like, God, 10 years ago, long time ago. So I had gone in for this comedy. It was, I think, an ABC comedy, sitcom. So it was multicam. And I'd gotten down to kind of like the end of it, but I hadn't tested. They apparently had cast somebody and they had started rehearsal. And they decided after the first run through, they didn't like who they cast.
Oof.
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 So I get a call that's like a last minute, like, would you, you know, we loved her. Can she come back in? We're in the middle of our rehearsal process already, but we're going to do a work session with her tonight. We're going to throw her into rehearsal tomorrow, and she'll be the one who does the network test, or I mean the network run through, and that will count as her test tomorrow. And I was like, wow, this is quite the opportunity. Like, they're up against a, like, have their backs against the wall. Like, I'm coming in, the, you know, the fifth hour, and I'm basically the ringer. This is great. So I come in, I do the work session. Again, it was to play some, like, slutty sister. What the fuck is up with me and, like, playing the slutty sister? Anyway, I come in, I do, the, you know, a work session with them. I go to work the next day, and I'm just, I already know, like, one of the stars on the show. I'm feeling really comfortable. The cast is super nice. You know, we're doing all the rehearsal, and we get to right before the network run through, and I'd been told, like, casting... the wardrobe department needs to get all your sizes. So you'll probably go in and do a, just because if everything went the way I thought it was supposed to go, they were going to have to fit me for clothes. Like, and they were filming the show like that Friday. So I go to the wardrobe department. I'm like, hey, and this should have been the first red flag. Hey, I was told to come in and you, so you guys could get my sizes and just try a few things on. And they all went, oh, that's okay. We'll be able to do it tomorrow. Yeah, don't worry about it. We're still shopping. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, we're good. We're fine. And I'm like, really? Okay. All right. Well, I guess they're not concerned. They know what they're doing.
Oh, boy.
So network run through comes around. I mean, I have a dressing room and everything. The run through comes around. We do the run through. I feel like I do a great job considering, like, I'd had one day of rehearsal and learned the entire show. And then the cast is going to notes, and I'm like walking over to go to notes, cause that's what you do on a sitcom. And the first AD comes to me, he's like, oh, they're not, they, don't worry about it. They're not going to need you, at notes. Oh. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm thinking, oh, because it's like a test. They don't want to like include me in the, until the, you know, everything's like finalized or all right. But I'm like, I'm feeling weird about it. Like the whole thing is just starting to feel like stink a little bit. And I get in my car and I'm driving home and my agent calls and she's like, yeah, so you're not getting the job. Mm. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm not getting the job? Like everything, we just finished the run through. Everything went great. She's like, are you sure? I mean, what happened in there?
Ew, she fuck says your agent.
Yeah, fuck her. What happened in there? Are you kidding me?
You just performed a miracle. That's what happened in there. Yeah. You heard a whole show in a day.
I said, what do you mean I'm not getting, like, what are they doing? She goes, they had a network test this afternoon. I said, okay. The fact that you just asked me what happened in there when they had a network test this afternoon, they were never going to give me this job.
My God, you were the filler?
I was the fucking filler. And they told me that I had a shot at it because otherwise I wouldn't, they knew I wouldn't have done it.
Did you burn the building down?
I mean, I was so, I've never felt so used in my life.
That's how I felt like that past pilot season. I felt like I was the negotiating tool for the girl they really wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awful.
Sucks. Awful. I mean, I probably cried. Yeah. I cried right for now. Like an hour and a half. I was so upset. I was like ready to like slash my wrists. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
And you know, and that's that. And like that show didn't go either. So whatever, fuck all them.
Exactly.
But it's still to this day, like it's still burned in my memory of like looking at all those producers and knowing like how hard I had worked. And then I like started to replay the whole day back in my head and how like all the people that were involved and all the people that knew the ruse and all the people that lied to me and looked at me all day. You know what I mean? Like everybody knew, not the cast, but the director knew. And he was like telling me what a great job I did. And the producers, like, it was just, it was so fucked up.
Yeah, that is.
Gross.
Gross.
Anyway.
Let's quit together.
Let's quit.
Yeah.
Burn it all down.
Right
it's
now.
It's so, I don't know how you feel. Like, I have a real, I love what I do, but I have a real love-hate with the business.
Absolutely.
Actually, I'm more of a hate-hate with the business aspect.
Yeah,
business
for sure.
Part of it. It's like the bad relationship you can't walk away from sometimes because all of a sudden it's nice to you. You're like, oh, but it's so great. And when it's so great, it's great. And then shit like that happens.
Right.
And you're like, why do I let this person abuse me over and over again emotionally? It's nasty.
It is.
All right. So moving on from that. let's talk about some relationships.
Okay.
So you said boyfriend. You have a boyfriend.
I do. Long-term.
Ooh.
Boyfriend. Yes.
How long have you been together?
6 years in December.
6 years?
Yeah.
Shit. That's awesome.
Yeah. We met when I was 18.
Okay. Is he also an actor?
No, he's a musician.
Very good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yep. So just a different kind of awful.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, it's difficult though. I think if you're both like in the biz and trying to do the same thing, it can be kind of challenging.
Yeah.
What does he do? What kind of musician?
Like singer, songwriter, that kind of stuff. You know, a little bit of John Mayer, a little bit of Robin Thicke, like poppy, kind of a mix of the two of those.
Has he ever been on The Voice?
Oh, I have so many stories about that.
Has he tried to be on The Voice?
So I have a story for every show is basically what
the deal is.
Oh my
gosh, this is great.
So he went out for The Voice, was essentially told that he didn't have the sob story to go along with that. You know, it was like, but did you ever live in your car? And he was like, oh, shoot. Nope. I didn't. So that was that. American Idol was the worst one.
Oh, no.
Ugh. Do you have a second?
Did he wait in line? Did he wear like a hot dog costume?
Yep. He definitely wore the hot dog costume. Basically, okay, I'll make this quick. So he has a friend who's doing A&R for American Idol, says, come in, meet with the producers. You get to skip all of the audition process. So he's like, great. He goes in. Oh. He does a cover of No Diggity, which is like his best cover. They're like, great, you got it. Here is your literal golden ticket. You're going to go straight through to the Hollywood rounds. We'll see you in a couple months when all of the auditions are done.
Wow. Okay.
So we're like, awesome. And I think the Hollywood round, I don't know, it's like top 100 or maybe something like that. So we're like, awesome, great. So he gets a call a few months later and they're like, hey, so we're not finding enough talent out of Kansas City, Missouri. So we're going to put you on a plane tomorrow.
What?
We're going to fly you there. You have to lie and say that you drove from Florida, where he's from, and you drove here to audition. That's the lie. And then you'll get put through again, obviously. But we just need some good talent to come out of Kansas City.
This is scandalous.
Yeah. So he's like, all right, here I go. It was awful from the get-go. He didn't get his plane information until like hours before. He gets on a plane, goes to Kansas City. He lands at like midnight. the hotel doesn't have a room for him. So he's calling the producers. He's trying to get a room. They finally sort it out. He goes into the room. He flips on the light. There's somebody sleeping in there.
Shut up.
They don't. Yeah. They forgot to mention that he was sharing a room with another contestant that they also flew out from LA to do the exact same thing.
Oh my God. My jaw is on the floor.
Yeah. So
American
Marty's
Idol,
like,
get it the fuck together.
Oh, it's so bad. So he's like, oh, hey man, sorry. Apparently this is my room also. And by the way, do you know what's going on? And the guy's like, oh, well, it's 2 a.m. You better go to sleep because we have to be there at 7. And so Marty, my boyfriend, is like, what? Okay. So he's like, whatever. I'm going to go. I'm going to do this stupid audition. I'm going to get on a flight. I'm going to go back home. No. He gets there. He waits for 12 hours. No food. No water. You can't even really go to the bathroom because if you miss your number, you miss your number. They made him wait in the audition line. Goes in.
But that's even like, that's inhumane.
Yeah.
Even if you know that you're going to be waiting in a line.
Right.
That's just so inhumane.
Yeah. And for 12 hours. And you're not allowed to practice because of sound. So you can't practice for 12 hours.
So Wow. You're just going in with rusty, Right. Cold cords.
Yep. So cool. He's now found this other guy that he roomed with and this other girl that they also flew from LA. So he has like his little friends to sit there for 12 hours with. He then is up. I think he's like next up in line. The girl goes in first. She goes in. She comes back out crying. And she's like, they won't let me sing the song that I'm prepared to sing. They said it's not on the list, but it is on the approved list because I sang it for my original audition. They won't let me sing it. I have to sing something else. So her audition was messed up. Ugh. She was like flustered. Marty's like, all right, I'm just going to go in and do my thing. He goes in front of J-Lo, Harry Connick Jr. and Keith Urban. And he does his audition and Keith Urban like raises his hand and so Marty stops playing and J-Lo's like, oh, what are you like just getting into it? And he goes, no, I'm drowning. And so Marty's like, okay, that doesn't sound very good. They don't put him through. So Marty's like, well, this has to be all fake, right? Because I like already have my golden ticket.
Right.
He walks out, sees a producer. The producer's like, hey, man, how'd it go? Like, everything all good? And Marty's like, well, no, I didn't make it. And the producer's like, what? But that producer like pretended that she didn't know what was going on. She goes, well, okay, come into this confessional. So then they make you do the confessional where they're literally sitting there telling him like, so what makes you think you would have been a better American Idol than everybody else? And Marty's like, I wouldn't have been. Like everybody that I've met today has been great and none of this. And Marty's dad was a pastor and they're like, so must have been really hard growing up with a pastor as a father. Must have been so unsupportive. And Marty was like, no, my dad's great actually. So it was just like, you know, slimy at every turn. And then he came home and never heard from them again.
Fuck them.
Wow. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yep.
It's too... I wish after Keith Urban had said that, he would have been like, well, it doesn't matter because I got a golden ticket in hand, motherfucker.
He waves it around. Woo, woo.
Yeah, you're like, hey, like, so...
I'm going anyway, bitches. Or just walked out of the room and been like, I'm going to Hollywood. And like the cameras get it, so like there's nothing they can do. Yeah. They're like, wait, huh?
What?
Yeah. Please tell me your boyfriend is still friends with those people.
No.
Ugh.
No.
Did any of them get through?
No, I don't think so. I don't think any of them got through.
What a nightmare.
Yeah, just a nightmare. But all those shows are like that. I mean, because he did X Factor auditions, Voice, like they're all the same.
Ugh,
yeah.
It's awful.
Awful.
Does he gig a lot in LA?
He was for a long time. Now he's self-producing his album. So he hasn't played out in a while.
Yeah.
But he will once that's all finished.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you guys just bought a house.
We did.
Yay. Yeah.
We just celebrated our 1 year in it this past October.
That's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a huge feat.
Yeah.
Buying your first house.
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
At 26 years old.
Yes.
Hell yeah, girl. You go.
Thank you.
Okay, so what, like buying a house, because I also bought my house in my 20s, and I felt like such an adult. But then I was also like, what am I doing?
Oh, yeah.
The other part of me was like, oh, God.
Right.
This is a lot of money. What if I can't make the payments? Oh, yeah. What if there? And then shit happens and you're like, you have to adult really quickly.
Yes.
Like you're paying property taxes. There's a rat in the basement.
Yeah.
Like part of the roof is caving in.
Right.
Like you're like, fuck.
Yeah. No,
like,
I cry.
Why did I do this?
I cry every day.
It's amazing, but it's also really hard.
Yep. Absolutely.
So you found the place. What was the buying process like?
That was okay. So this house comes on the market. My mom's best friend is in town and they're like, let's just go look for houses for fun. I wasn't even really looking. They found this house. And they're like, you have to go see it. I missed the open house, but you have to call the realtor. You have to go see it. Call the realtor just like 3 hours after the open house. She calls me back and she's like, I'm so sorry. It sold at the open house today. And I was like, well, crap. And my mom was like, yeah, but if this house is out there in your price range, there's got to be others.
Sure.
So I find this house on Zillow. I contact the realtor and I'm like, all right, I need to see this house. I think it's going to break my heart, but we should do it. It listed on Zillow on Monday. I saw it on Wednesday. I put my offer in that night and it was accepted by Friday. Yeah.
Wow.
So that part was a breeze.
Right.
The rest of it sucked.
Yeah.
Apparently, Bank of America doesn't know what an actor is.
Oh, yeah.
So that was right. The worst.
So trying to get
the loan.
The loan and trying to get approved. It's so hard. This is the thing. And yeah, whether you're buying a car, a house, you don't have a normal job.
Right.
So when someone asks to see your pay stubs, you're like,
yeah. So Awkward had just ended.
Right.
So I'm like, here's all of my pay stubs from last year.
And they're like, great. So where are you working now? And you're right. Like, I don't know yet.
Right. But I had kept saying, I was like, well, we might get another season.
Right.
Because MTV hadn't actually pulled the plug yet. So I was like, we're probably going to get another one. This is great. It's definitely going to happen. Didn't happen. I was put through the ringer for like 3 months on trying to close on this stupid house. It's not stupid. Geez. I love it. finally closed 2 months later, which just catapulted me into a terrible situation with the owners of the house.
Oh no.
So we were supposed to close in September, beginning of September. We ended up not closing until the end of October. I was in Hawaii because I was officiating a wedding.
Oh.
So it's not like I could change my trip.
Right.
So my parents went ahead and like did the closing for me and got the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Because Marty and I were both in Hawaii. So they go to the house after getting the keys and the people are still there. And we had been closing on this house for months. Like,
right.
Get your shit out and go. You also didn't ask for any, like, you didn't ask to rent it back from me. So leave my house. So they were there with everything still in, nothing had been moved.
Oh, no.
Nothing. They were like acting like, what? Why are you here? So.
Because I own this house now.
This is my house now as of like 1 p.m.
Wait, so they were the owners.
They were the owners.
The former
owners. So it wasn't like renting a place to.
They were the owners.
Huh.
Yeah. So then their like realtor got in a fight with my realtor and it was crazy. I was on the phone with my mom. I'm like, this sounds nutty. Just call the police. And my dad's there like, you're just a bunch of losers.
Oh,
and
geez,
I'm like, mom, he called them losers. And she was like, he did. I'm like, good. Tell him to do it again. So. And they were like, you know, we closed late on this house, so we lost the house that we were trying to buy. And I was like, I get it. That really sucks. But they ended up finding a house that was way better.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, so you're still just being mad at me for no reason. Also, like, I had no control over how fast the bank closed.
Well,
on
exactly.
House. It wasn't my fault.
No.
So they get a moving truck. They move all of their stuff. Their mother lived like a couple of neighborhoods down. So they stayed with her until they could get into their house like the next day. It was not a big deal. But before they left, they put chicken bones down my garbage disposal. They put used tampons on my floor of my bathroom.
What?
And they broke my hot water heater.
That's so vindictive.
It was terrible.
Ew.
Yep.
So when you walked in the house, you're like, my new home. What's this?
I was in Hawaii. So my parents are like, so my parents and Marty's parents, because Marty's dad was our contractor. We redid the whole house. They were all there, like calling us, like, this is what these people did. I couldn't get the hot water heater replaced by home warranty because it was broken and I couldn't prove that I didn't break it. So I had to buy a new one in the first, 2 months of living in the house. I mean, it was crazy. And then a couple days later, I think this was the day I was flying back from Hawaii. The woman showed up to like apologize. My mom was like, get out.
What?
Leave. Yeah.
So what, she like knocks on the door, you open it, you're like, what do you want?
She was like, I wanted to see like what you guys are doing to the house. There was this whole thing. There was a sandbox in the front yard of the house, which is very weird. It was also like
for kids?
Yes, like a child sandbox in the front yard, which was a succulent and cactus garden. So super weird.
Okay.
But I wrote a letter to get them to give me the house. And I was like, I can't wait to raise my future kids in this house and let them play in the sandbox. And the sandbox was awful.
Yeah.
But I got the house. And so when this woman came, and my mom was like so mad at her, she left. And my mom was like, and by the way, we're ripping out the sandbox. I was like, all right, my parents are petty, but I kind of love it.
That's crazy. That's so mean.
It was so mean.
Yeah. And I guess like I was thinking, isn't there, you've had an inspection, but I guess like with appliances, it's sort of like they're not inspecting the right. Like, garbage disposal.
But they did do the hot water heater and it was fine.
See, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I feel like if that was inspected and it was fine and not disclosed.
Yeah. Oh, I tried. I wrote so many letters.
That's awful. You know what? That is some bad karma that is going to come back to those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you anything, their roof, like over like the last time it rained really bad, I bet whatever this new house they have.
Yeah, it leaked.
Yeah, that thing is going to leak. They're going to have to replace it.
Yep.
It's just crazy. It's like adults selling a house to another human being. Like, why with that level of petty, like that kind of like just coming in is so strange.
Just
so
be an
strange.
Adult.
Like, are you drunk and you're just like, you know, like, that's so crazy.
Use tampons.
Use
like,
tampons.
That's really? That's like something someone does in freshman year of college.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
But also, how do you know you're selling your house and just not pack?
Yeah.
Like, what did you think was, did you think I was going to pack for you?
I don't know.
What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, that's just,
your clothes
weird.
Were still in the closet.
Were they going to wait till you got back and then we're like,
welcome back. You want to help us pack up our stuff?
It's weird. Yeah. I think some people don't, well, change is hard for a lot of people. I'll put that out there. But then there are people who, Steven's
very
laughing.
Generous.
I know.
You're so nice.
I know. But then there are some people who become so disabled by their own fear. That when they're in the moment of it, it's just like they freeze. Like they don't know what to do and they just become like angry and like crazy. It sounds like these people became like angry and crazy.
Yeah, they were definitely crazy.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, when I moved.
Hope you saged that house, by the way.
I knocked all the walls down and we did it.
Hell yeah.
So.
Okay.
No, I was going to say, when I moved, I just forgot to like say that I was moving out. And so I had that period of like, there was an overlap of 2 weeks where like, instead of like having to be out the next day, and people are like, oh, that's so smart of you that you like left time to move. And I was like, no, I just forgot to check out on time. So I had to, obviously had to pay for that overlap, but it just was one of those things where it's just like, you just have to accept that you like even offered to like cover for the time that you like how you're saying like rent,
just rent the house back from me. I would have had no problem.
Right.
I would have been if they were the day before, if they were like, listen, we need 2 weeks to get out. I'd be like, yeah, for sure. I can stay in my apartment for 2 weeks. That's totally fine.
We'll give you half of what, you know, let's negotiate a.
But when you hand over the keys.
Yeah.
And then you just squat.
Yeah. I was going to say, if they hadn't left, I guess you would have to say that they were squatting, right?
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Just like in the dark, like all the power's out.
The power's out because the bills have all been switched over and everything.
So weird.
So. My birthday and our anniversary and Christmas all fall in the same week.
Wow.
And I blame him for that because he should have asked me to be his girlfriend a lot sooner, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So my present this year was that Marty and his dad built me a giant walk-in closet that I did not have.
That's
and it's wonderful.
An awesome gift.
Right.
The way to a woman's heart, everyone.
Yeah, a giant closet. And then my gift to him was that I would paint it. When it was done.
That's very nice.
It looks so bad.
Oh, no.
Like, because you have to mud it, and then you have to sand it, and I'm not good at that.
Oh,
and then
man.
Painting it. And like, I'm so lucky that it's just covered by clothes.
Right.
Because it's the worst job I've ever done on anything,
that
closet. It's so bad.
Oh, my God. I
mean, hopefully you got, like, some DIY Instagram-style photos. And
I did. I got all the photos. It's up on my blog. You can check it out. I didn't show you the inside of the closet because that's where the mess is.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Do you think you and your boyfriend are going to get married?
I do.
You do?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know when, though. We're not really in a big rush.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, we met when I was 18 and he was 21.
Mm-hmm.
And he just turned 29. I just turned 26. And so it's like, why rush it? You know?
You're young.
Yeah. I need to be like working again before I can even wrap my mind around that. So
for sure.
Yeah.
So you never did any of the like online dating or anything like that?
No. I met Marty. He went to high school with one of my best friends.
Okay.
And he came to visit her to see if he wanted to move to LA. And he crashed on her couch for 2 weeks. And in that 2 weeks, I broke up with my high school boyfriend. And I met Marty. And I knew the minute I saw him, I was like, that's my next boyfriend. We were best friends for a year. And then we started dating.
Oh, my God. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's so cute.
Yeah.
That's such a narrow time.
Yeah.
That perfect window.
Yeah. It really was, weird. I mean, my high school boyfriend is so stupid. We were so, like, on and off, you know? Yeah. So I was really just, like, waiting to meet somebody else at that point. But then we just remained friends for a while he, like, moved from Florida and got his life set up here. And then the rest is history.
I love it. That's so sweet. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to hear all the details when you guys decide to
for
plan
sure.
your wedding. Yes. I want to know what you do. I planned ours and I did so much myself. So
I'm going to do everything myself. But that's mostly like just because I don't trust anybody.
I get it.
Yeah.
And also weddings, just because you use the word wedding, everything becomes 80% more expensive.
Right.
Unless you decide to do it all yourself. And ours there's so much you can small. Like DIY. Good.
Like I've already said, if you're a distant cousin whose last name I don't know, not invited to my wedding. If you've ever sent one mean thing, not invited to my wedding. If you're a friend of my mom's grandma's niece, you're not invited to my wedding. My rule is, if you don't know Marty and I as a couple, if you just know Marty or just know me, you're not coming to my wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. You can be ruthless.
Okay. I'm going to be mean.
Yeah.
I'm also going to have food trucks.
Yes.
Right?
I love that idea.
Yeah.
That's great.
And no bridal party, because that's too much drama.
No. And you know what? I had one, but they didn't stand with me
up there.
And no. You don't really.
No.
You don't really.
None of that.
I want to talk about Instagram for a minute.
Okay.
So you're on social media.
Yes.
You've got an Instagram.
Yes.
You've got a Twitter.
Yes.
You've got a blog.
Yes.
You've got a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's becoming less oral. I feel like it's just kind of the
I feel like our parents are the only ones on Facebook.
Right?
It's like the junk drawer of like social media. It's like,
and I love a good junk drawer.
Yeah,
you know, it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not worried about what it looks like or it's just sort of.
It's just kind of, everything gets pushed there.
Yeah.
If you have an Instagram, I might as well push it to my public
Facebook page. I'll update it.
It's for cousins, whether you like them or not,
to
see what you're up to.
Yeah, your high school friends and their like political views. That's what it's for.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, yes, I don't want to know any.
No, delete them all.
I have way too much stress in my life. I can't worry about that.
No.
Okay, so social media can be interesting because you're just opening yourself up to a world of other people's views and comments about you, you know?
Yep.
And for the most part, you know, I find that people are generally pretty, if they have something to say, for the most part, people are saying something like, uplifting or positive. But then there's always the one.
Yep.
There's always the one or two that just decide to be a dick. So I will tell you what, the comment I just got yesterday.
But you haven't told me yet what it is.
I haven't. I've been waiting. Which I was like, wow. Okay. So I posted yesterday was Friday and we always come out with our episodes on Friday. So I posted our newest picture and a link to our episode and there were a bunch of, comments, this is intriguing. Love this podcast. Can't wait for next week, et cetera. So I'm going to go ahead and say this person's name, Snaggliest Tooth. Snaggliest Tooth is this person's Instagram.
This is a sad person.
Yeah. This is, and I have there's a selfie that I took of myself, and that's part of the picture. He or she comments, I can't believe this is how you turned out. I can't believe a Hollywood person could age this poorly.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
fuck.
Oh,
wow. Snaggliest Tooth.
Wow, Snaggliest Tooth. That's just mean.
That's like, mean.
The other thing about this person is that their account is private.
Of course. That's how it is. That you will never find a troll with a public profile.
Like, why? But like, why put the energy into it? And then it's like, it's a guy, the picture is a guy and a girl and they look like they're at a wedding.
Well, who has the snaggle tooth?
You can't tell. It's too far. But it's just like, clearly all they do is probably this kind of shit.
Yeah.
And then the person's description is, you won't find a better loser. Bell Bottom Blues. I don't know what
that professional is. Troll.
Professional troll. But like, I just don't understand. Like, why do people... They want to get a rise,
yes,
I guess, out
they
of
do.
You.
That's what they want.
That's what it is. I mean, I read it and I was like, ouch. And then I was like, ugh. I don't care. Yeah. I mean, I'm leaving it there because I just find it like... It's just sometimes the things people say. It's just unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Do you have any trolls?
I have so many trolls. Where do I start? Do you want like new trolls or old trolls?
I mean, you know, recent trolls.
Okay. So this is like, this was like a fan that turned into a troll, which is even scarier. So there is a guy. I'm going to say his name. He's going to listen. He's going to find this and he's going to listen to this.
Okay,
he's
great.
He's going to know I'm talking about him. He goes by Doomsday Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Doomsday Machine?
No, but it just sounds like it's either like a snaggliest tooth, Doomsday Machine.
Yeah,
you
but this person is like a fan of everyone. Like everyone.
Okay.
He's probably tweeted you before.
Okay.
So
we'll try to find him.
It started as just like, I mean, he's been following me for like years, and it started as just like a fan who would talk a lot on Twitter.
Okay.
And it would be a lot of like, he would tweet SNL and tell them that I needed to be a host, or he would tweet something else and I needed to be in this movie, or he'd pair me with other actresses and this is the movie I want to see. Like, you know, so weird kind of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he would ask me questions and I would respond. Normal questions like about acting or what I'm up to or what I'm doing next.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, you know, take the bait every once in a while. And then in the last like 6 months, it started to get obsessive to the point where it was like 20 tweets a day, but not just tweets. This guy would, I'm going to find it. This guy would take my face and turn me into other things or creatures or characters. So the straw that broke the camel's back was he turned me into Gollum. And it was fucking terrifying. I'm going to find it. It was absolutely crazy. And so I stopped responding because this is scary. Right? That's scary.
Yeah.
Oh, I found him.
So
that's weird.
So I stopped responding. So then... Just
that looks like my daughter when we did the old baby app.
Yeah, it's just creepy. It's creepy. So he goes onto my Instagram and he comments on a picture like 7 times. And the first one is like, screw you. You don't respond to any of my tweets anymore. And then the next one was like, you just lost a fan. And then there was like one more. And so then I felt kind of bad and I was like, ugh. Whatever. So I like let it go for a couple hours and then I answered one of his tweets that was like a normal question.
Right.
He comes back on the same picture and says like, screw you again. I don't need your pity tweets. And this is again like 7 more Instagram comments. And I deleted them all because my followers will attack. And I was like, this doesn't need to be a thing. Like this guy's nutso.
Yeah.
So I blocked him on Instagram and I blocked him on Twitter. And I tried to find him again because I wanted to see if he's tweeted about me since, but I can't find him anymore because I blocked him.
Right.
So I don't have access to anything that he said, but I kind of want to know if he made like some grand tweet about me after I blocked him. He probably did.
Steven?
Well, I found him, but it's like, it's weird because it's like he's tweeting
everyone.
Everyone.
Every single person.
And it's
all
like
time.
All the same GIF and it's all the same. It's strange when somebody has that kind of like urgency to somebody that they don't even know.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, like, you know, you fall in love with somebody and they don't reciprocate or were in a relationship and it falls apart. It's like, it's that level of intensity, but for a complete stranger. And it's like really terrifying.
Yeah. It's so scary.
I think because there's such a, with social media, there's such an easy connection to, you can tweet at anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it makes it very accessible.
You can send a dick pic to whoever you want.
That's right. So last weekend, there's a fridge in our garage. You know, do you have a garage fridge? Is this like a Southern thing?
No, it's a Midwest thing for sure.
Okay.
Our house in Michigan has a garage fridge.
I love a garage fridge.
I don't have a garage here, or else I probably have a garage. So my garage here was actually converted into another livable space, and it's my master bedroom now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. Well, as you know from the Midwest or even the South, we all had a garage fridge, and that's where you put like your sodas, you know,
the popsicles.
The popsicles. If you're having a birthday party, that's where the you hide the cake.
All the extra meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I always wanted one when I grew up. I didn't grow up with one.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm so sorry.
I know. I feel very deprived.
You should.
But also, it's like, hard, in the winter, I mean, Michigan, like, in the winter, when you have to go get stuff out of the garage fridge, it's awful.
So the one that was currently in our garage is the one I've had since college. Okay, so it's old, but it still works great.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, when we go back to the new house, we bought a new fridge for the space. So I'm probably going to take the one we have now, which is a little nicer, and it has the double doors. So it's really good, especially if you're having a party. You can, like, open it up and, like, put, you know, trays of whatever
in your vegetables.
Yeah. So I was like, we'll take that one back. So we should sell this old one. So last weekend, I spent an hour and a half cleaning this thing out. This thing has never been cleaned like I cleaned it. It looks like brand new inside. It looks beautiful. I Cloroxed it, the whole thing. I spent an hour and a half. And I'm like, I'll put it on Craigslist, you know, $100. $100 for a good working fridge? Like, that seems reasonable. I break down the price to $75. Literally, not one response. People don't want anything unless you put it on the road and you're like, free.
Well, just anything that's huge, it seems like you have to give it away because nobody wants to pick it up.
Yeah, it's like the picking up and the lugging it back.
The piano rule.
Jeez.
You should try that app, Let Go.
I should try that app, Let Go.
The app.
Because there's a couple of things I'm trying to sell. Not an ad.
But also, if they want to pay me, I'll do the ad.
Seriously, though, if anyone is in the Los Angeles area and you want an awesome garage fridge that has been Cloroxed, I'll take $50 for it. You can email me at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. I also have a Frigidaire Gallery, 30-inch range. It's chrome. It works great. My husband cleaned it. It was only used for 4 years.
Is this going
to
be?
I'll go down to $400 for that. $400. $400.
For the next.
Going once. Going
until
twice.
April. Every episode at the end, we'll just have a for sale.
Well, next week, I'm going to put up that beautiful dining room table.
Great.
Do you need a dining room table?
I don't.
Okay.
No. Shit. Right. Well,
let me know.
Yeah. That's the fun part of moving. We were like, do you need this? And everyone's like, no.
I don't need anything. Leave me alone. Stop calling here.
I've helped lots of friends move over the years. But one of my best friends, and I hope she listens to this because we laugh about this. She was moving back to New York and she had lived here for like 9 years. So her apartment, she had a lot of stuff. And
I can only take one suitcase.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So she's packing things in boxes and she's trying to send everything book rate and like basically lying to UPS every day because they ain't books in there. Let me tell you, there was shoes in there. But anyway, she's like packing it all up. So the last day she was here, my other friend and I had decided to take her out like for a final like girls' day. You're moving back to New York. We're going to take you. We're going to go to Burke Williams. We're going to have a spa day. Then we're going to go down to the beach. We're going to ride bikes. We're going to have a nice lunch. And then we're going to go to this party. I was invited to some party that evening. We were all going to go together.
Great.
I come into her house at 9:30 that morning. There is shit everywhere and boxes are open and she's just looking up at me with these like crazy eyes and I'm like, you're moving tomorrow, what is happening? She's like, I had to keep watching all the things on my TiVo because I have to give it back today and I don't, it's been hard.
God.
It's just been like, she was in that like, I'm frozen, I'm rocking on the floor, like I don't know what, but here's a package of half open straws, I don't know what to do with these straws, do you think there's anyone I can give the straws to? And I'm like, okay, all right, we're not going to Burke Williams, we're definitely not making the beach, let's hope we make dinner at this point. And I like grabbed a trash bag and I was like, no, you're done, you've had your time, you've had weeks, now you're done. And I started just like throwing shit in the trash bag and she's like, no but what about, I'm like, no, there's no more conversation about this, you're not taking half open straws to New York.
No,
and I certainly don't want them, so it's over. And she laughs how I came in and I was just like, nope. I just start like, anything that will fit in that box is what's happening. Otherwise, we're dropping off at Goodwill. We're dropping this DVR off and bye-bye. Let's go have some, you know, some wine and some pasta and then and put you on a plane.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need someone to do that. You start going through
shit.
Stuff.
Give me a place to organize.
God.
I'll get it done and I'll enjoy it. Yeah.
Oh, God, I need to hire you.
I'll come anytime.
You really need somebody to come through when you move and go through your shit because they don't have an attachment to anything.
Right.
It's great.
But I think we all have in common that control of like, I don't want people to touch my
stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like this, when I last time I moved over a year ago, I got movers for the first time. I was like, oh, I'm an adult. I'm like hiring movers. Yeah. But then I only told them to move a certain amount of stuff because I was like, I don't want them to touch the rest of my stuff. And I feel like the truck was not as full as it could have been.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, don't touch my books and don't touch my, you know, podcast equipment or whatever. Yeah. It's like that. But it's like, I feel like I wasted a little bit of money because I was just like, I don't want them to, I just like don't want anyone to break anything. Or,
I know.
It's hard to let go of that control.
I know.
Yeah.
It really is. But I have got to get, I mean, I'm looking around here and I'm like, That's not coming. What's that thing? I don't like that, you know, because now I'm thinking about the new house. And I'm like, I told my husband, I was like, I think we're just going to have another big garage sale.
Yeah.
Because unless people see like a table on a lawn and they're like, oh, we'll take that. You know, it's a spur of the moment, like when I'm driving around and I could use that table. If you're seeing it on Craigslist, you're like, oh, I have to go get a truck and I have to go do that. But there are people who know if you're having a garage sale, all they do is drive around and look for stuff.
You advertise it. You put it in like the local paper. That's the thing still, right? People there do are, local papers.
There are people. I put it in the Penny Saver. Yep. There are people that love a good tag sale. My grandmother was one of them.
Yeah.
And like the last time we had a garage sale, people came at like 6:30. I'm like still putting stuff on. I'm like, we actually don't start till 7. And the guy was like, well, I'm just looking to see what do you have. Like they know, they're hitting them all up.
When my parents used to have big garage sales, I used to go out and take things back when they weren't looking.
They're like trying to sell your Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you don't need these dolls anymore. I'm like, but they're my babies, and go take them back.
Oh yeah,
take
for
them
sure.
Out of children's arms.
I know,
they're mine.
My friend, they just moved, and she says that she's been throwing her children's toys away in the night. She's like they have too much shit.
Yeah, but
she's
if you like, do it in the night, they'll forget.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's like, they don't know, and she's like, it's awful. I'm just bagging things in the night, and I'm throwing them out. She's like, I can't handle it. We have too much stuff, and if I do it in broad day, they'll freak out.
I wish that I could do that to my boyfriend's Xbox.
Oh,
God. Throw it away in the night.
Throw it away. I wish I could do that to half my husband's closet.
Yeah. Oh, same.
What's happening in there?
I don't know.
Why are we hanging on to these things?
My boyfriend has more pairs of jeans than I do. Why do you need so many pairs of jeans?
I don't know. He just built you a walk-in closet, so I guess.
Oh, none of his clothes are in that closet.
Oh, he has a separate closet.
It's all mine. Oh, he uses the guest bedroom closet.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's really smart.
That's my space.
Get out of my domain.
Exactly. Although maybe he should use it because he has so many pairs of damn jeans.
Yeah, totally. Well, my husband is just like, we've talked about this a little bit, but it's a lot of the old costumes from the theater.
Oh, yeah, I don't have to deal with any of that.
Yeah, it's like the old like white tights to play Romeo.
You're never going to wear these again.
You know.
Throw them out.
The Game of Thrones looking sort of armor.
And why sell them to a costume house?
Can't
just have a costume party, themed parties.
I know. Well, that's the thing, is that we keep thinking, well, but we have to save it because what if there's a theme party and you don't want to have to go and buy it or rent it? No, you're not saving costumes for that one theme party that may or may not happen in the next decade.
I had to have this conversation with my mom because we're selling our house in Michigan, and you know, she's going through all these bins of things. She keeps everything, and I'm like, Mom, throw away the macaroni necklaces.
Yeah.
You don't want them as memories? No, I don't want them as memories. I don't remember making it to begin with. Throw it away.
Also, there's probably mold in half this shit.
Yeah, it's gross.
That
Mom,
old Play-Doh thing?
She has like my teeth. She has my teeth.
Oh, yeah. My mother finally admitted to me that she threw my baby teeth out.
I think my mom probably still has my teeth and locks of my hair.
Yeah. They were in like a little jewelry box.
Yep.
And she said she finally found them and she goes, it looked like they had started to rot, is what she said to me. But I have my dog's teeth. I'm crazy.
That's crazy.
I know.
Throw them away.
Gross.
Throw them away.
They all like felt like, because we had them when they used a puppy.
Yeah.
Look at them. I told you.
I mean,
they're
so
crazy
sweet,
when you walk
but,
in.
Like, I wouldn't keep their teeth.
No, it's disgusting.
It's gross.
There's something wrong with me.
Do you keep your, and I've noticed people are divided in the cat community about this. Do you save your cat's, you just have one cat, right?
I just have one, yeah.
Do you save her? Do you save her whiskers at all?
No.
Because I know people that save their cat's whiskers.
Do the whiskers fall out?
Yeah, they'll like occasionally pop out. I feel like my cat, I've never seen a loose whisker.
I've never seen a loose whisker. She lost baby teeth. Didn't keep them. so scary.
But no, I've seen somebody with a little jar, like a little, almost like when like film, like the camera film used to come in, but it's just got like a whiskers? Bunch of like whiskers.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to that person's house anymore if I were you.
If your cat's whiskers fell out, would you save them if you saw them, Stephen?
No, but when she, because I don't trim her claws, but when I see one occasionally stuck in a pillow or something, mm-hmm. I'm like, that's cool. And then I throw it away.
Right. Yeah. Or okay. I think like, oh, I hope that didn't hurt. Definitely throwing this away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I save my daughter's toenail clippings. Is that odd?
That seems a little more normal to me, actually.
Totally kidding. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
There's probably some psycho mom that does that, though.
Probably.
Like from her first ever, the first time I clipped her little toenails. I got to save them. Psychopath.
I'm probably going to end up saving her baby teeth like a psycho bear. And then when she's in high school or college, I'm going to be like, what was I doing? Gross.
It's teeth.
I know. It's gross. It's so gross. I've so saved my dogs, for the love of God. You know I'm going to be like, her first tooth fell out. It's weird because I think when you have a kid, it's like these milestones happen.
Right.
And it's like you can't believe that they were once so little and now this thing is happening, which basically means that they're turning a corner into the next phase.
Yeah. See, I'm not a mom, so I can't imagine. Maybe one day I will have a whole bucket of children's teeth in my closet.
Let's hope they're actually your children.
We'll see. We'll see how crazy I get. I heard the hormones are really nuts.
They're nuts. They're totally nuts. Well, Jillian, I don't want to take any more time of your time on a Saturday, but this was awesome having you here.
This was so fun. Thank you.
Thank you for telling us all your terrible tales. It was truly uplifting in a weird way.
Great.
Misery loves company, everyone. Where can we find you on social media?
At Jillian Rose Reed on Twitter and on Instagram, on Facebook also.
Great. It's all the same. And where can we see you next? What are you up to?
So I have a blog. It's new. JillianRoseReed.net. It's just a lifestyle blog.
Awesome.
Where I share things that I love. I talk about mental health. I talk about beauty and fitness and relationships and all that good stuff. And great. I also have a weekly radio show on Adobe Radio, Thursday nights at 5 p.m. called For Real Though.
I love
and
that.
You can listen to episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
That's great. Thank and you do it by yourself?
No, I do it with two other actresses. We came together because Adobe Radio was like, hey, we need a female show. So we were like, okay, let's do this. We talk about everything under the sun, girls.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yay.
I'm filtered and we drink tequila while we do it.
Oh, yeah, the best.
It's the best.
Okay, good. I'm going to check that out.
Please
That's
do.
Awesome. I am Yo Lakin on all social media. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. But you know I like the Instagram the most. Just try not to be mean, really.
Don't be a dick.
Because it's just, yeah, it just hurts my heart. Stephen?
Well, you can be mean to a lot, right?
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, a lot. He enjoys it, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's fueled by it.
He totally is. He's like, you tell him something, you get in his face, he'll like turn around and be like, oh, no, bitch, I'm coming back at you.
That's the kind of confidence I admire, where it's like, when
you go hard,
to,
I'll go even harder.
Yeah, yeah, I wish I had that.
He doesn't give a fuck.
So yeah, send all your hate mail. If you want to direct it to one of us, just send it to a lot, and it'll make
tell him
day.
He's not aging well.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a shit.
And you can find me at Stephen Ray Morris on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can follow us on all social at Worst Ever Podcast and Worst Ever PC on Twitter. If you want to write us some fan mail or even hate mail, I'll take a hate mail. That's fine. About the podcast. That's fine. Maybe we'll read it on the air. At worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. Jillian, again, thanks for having us.
Thanks
for having us.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us over to my home.
You are so welcome.
It's been wonderful being in our space.
Yeah, it has.
All right, we'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye.
Bye.